Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As Congress gets back to work this week, a few blocks away, the conservative think tank The Heritage Foundation has been working on Project 2025. This is a coffee table-sized book that's a plan to reshape government, which they say has been weaponized against American citizens and conservative values, to give power to a Republican president who they hope will be Trump, to assemble an army of conservatives to come to Washington, and to deconstruct the administrative state. Paul Danz is director of Project 2025. He was chief of staff at the Office of Personnel Management in the Trump administration. Paul, welcome.
Thank you, Robin. Nice to be with you.
And you know, there's been a lot of buzz about this. You've called it a clarion call to flood the zone with conservatives. To do what?
Well, our plan is pretty basic. It's that we have a government of the people, by the people, for the people. But the federal government has run away from that in the last 100 years. So we're really inviting conservatives to come to Washington. We really want to tell folks this is your government as much as anyone's else.
Well, which folks is, you know, the question. We understand there's a plan to fire as 50,000 civil workers and replace them with people you've been signing up at state fairs and conservatives who would come to Washington. Why are these jobs more their jobs than the people who have been hard at work at them for years?
I do think that the jobs are theirs as much as anyone else's. You know, the graduate degree class is not America. We have people with 350 million numerous around this country, and the wisdom that they collect is really what we're trying to infuse that. That's for policymaking positions. You know, the reality is that a president is sent there by the people, and the scariest part would be to have a president elected and then not be able to perform on his or her promises to the people.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, some would say in defense of civil workers, they've been quietly working away in both Republican and Democratic administrations, keeping water clean, air clean, giving benefits to veterans. They're not grad students in most areas. This is a slog and a job that they are doing, they think, to contribute. But even if you were to say, let's replace them with partisans, what do you say to those who say that's just replacing what you say are partisans with other partisans?
Well, first of all, I think we can probably all agree that the entire federal government is massively bloated. And, you know, if you look at Elon Musk with Twitter, it's an outer bounds to be sure, but he reportedly dismissed over 80% of that workforce. And I was just looking on Twitter before this broadcast. It's still humming along. In any enterprise, you're going to have a lot of dead wood. I should say it's not to fire the people, but to let them know that they serve at will. It's not the policymaker's prerogative to stand up and say no to the president.
But what do you say to people like the also very conservative Philip Wallach, who's a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute? He says some of these visions of yours start to bleed into some kind of authoritarian fantasies where our president won, he's in charge, everyone has to do what he says. That, in fact, during the Trump presidency, it was his own political appointees who stopped some of his plans. You're talking about removing what some people see as guardrails.
With all due respect, we don't have to envision an authoritarian fantasy. We're living in an authoritarian reality right now under Biden. I mean, he was the one who made people take the jab in order to keep their livelihood or go to school or participate in public life.
You're talking about the COVID vaccine.
Correct.
Well, I hear you clearly that you're one of the voices that doesn't believe that was the government's role to authorize vaccinations during a pandemic. There are others who fiercely disagree with you. But just let's take your thinking further. We know that your plan proposes pages of changes to the EPA, including how pollutants and emissions are regulated. There's been reporting that you'd like to turn back, you know, pretty much all of the climate change advancements. Isn't this the role of government to help when there is something like a pandemic, when there is something like fires, floods, drought are wreaking havoc right now?
Well, you know, I should back up. The book is actually the work of over 400 conservative authors, thinkers. Look, we all want clean air. We all want clean water. But the approach to the climate, you know, and I can say this also as someone who did his undergraduate and graduate work at MIT and was, you know, privileged to study environmental economics, to say that we're going to do electric batteries everywhere and put the combustion engine out of business. At the same time, you have to see the opposite effect that that's going to wreak. You know, you'll have a four-year-old in the Congo sorting through rocks, trying to find cobalt. And that's really what we're saying, that the question is whether the solutions being put forward to this problem are actually going to fix the problem.
So are you saying you don't want to just, you're against climate change regulation?
Well, the book sets forward a very clear vision of how the EPA should function, as well as Department of Energy. And the climate regulation is right now being kind of mandated without any expectation of the cost. This is, you know, a question anybody else listening to this broadcast. Are you ready to eat bugs, give up air conditioning?
Who's suggesting that you eat bugs? I mean, really, Paul.
School teachers are, actually.
You're talking about, we're in peril right now, you know, as far as the survival of the planet. And you're talking about eating bugs. So the reading of your plan is that you want to turn back the regulations and the thinking that will be necessary to even meet the smallest targets for fighting climate change. Why would you want to do that?
Well, it's our plan, for one. And like I say, this is a network of conservatives that have come together on this. We're proposing a radical reformation of the economy at a time where the 90% of our assets are controlled by 1% of the population. Where do you think the balancing is going to be weighed on the shoulders of this climate change reaction? Is it going to be on the billionaires? You know, maybe they can suffer, but the rest of the folks who are now trying to make it 50 miles into work at, you know, the intensive cares at the midnight shift are going to have to find a new way to travel.
Sherrilyn Ifill, formerly of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, says your plan isn't conservative, it's right-wing extremism. She said decimation of the civil service is a huge element in the formula to end democracy, that this isn't some infrastructure plan, it's part of a coup.
The entirety of this is actually to save democracy. We are confronting tyranny, the tyranny of unaccountable, unelected bureaucracy. We can't have a class of folks in Washington utterly disconnected from any sort of accountability.
That's Paul Dance, director of Project 2025 at the Heritage Foundation. Paul, thanks for speaking to us about it.
Thank you, Robin.
Okay, well, we just want to bring in Lisa Mascaro for a couple minutes. She's AP Chief Congressional Correspondent. And Lisa, as you know, the plan also calls for departments like the DOJ being answerable to the president. But we just heard him say he feels his plan supports democracy because it stops a class of unelected government workers from thwarting a president's agenda. Remind us of the context here.
Hi, Robin. Thanks for having me. Yes, I did speak with Paul quite a bit for the story that the AP ran on this topic as well, and heard some of what he has said. You know, this is just a reminder of what the former President Trump was able to do, and what those who worked for him and who are now part of this effort are hoping to do in the future. We often hear about, you know, think tanks and outside groups. It's sort of a symbol of government in waiting during the election year, trying to look ahead to what a new administration could look like. And that's exactly what we have with this Heritage Coalition, made up of many, many former Trump administration officials. As Paul said, you know, across hundreds of other agencies, of other think tanks across Washington here. And what they really learned during the Trump administration was that they felt like they didn't have enough people in place to put in the president's policies. Now, what we saw during the Trump administration pass was that a number of civil servants did stand up and thwart some of the president's agenda because they believed it was against the law or against protocol on a number of fronts. This, by doing away with some of those folks, in putting in place the president's own team more broadly, you know, it's sort of lower levels of civil servants, really ensures, they hope, that a new Republican administration could pick up where former President Trump left off and do even more.
Well, I have to ask you, because Paul told us, and people might be thinking, well, Biden removed hundreds of people appointed by Trump. So isn't this what normally happens? Or is 50,000, you know, a plan to remove 50,000 workers a little different?
Sure, it is a little different. So every year there are some 4,000 appointees, political appointees in the administration that often switch hands from one president to the other. What the former president did, what Trump did, and what the Heritage Group is proposing is a return to a policy called Schedule F that would classify tens of thousands of other workers as at-will employees, enabling them to be hired and fired at will, not career, you know, with any career protections. That would be a sea change. President Biden stopped that policy when he took office, but they, and frankly, many of the other Republican presidential contenders beyond Trump are now sort of adopting that as standard Republican policy.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave it at that, but I'm sure we'll pick this up again. Alisa Mascaro, AP Chief Congressional Correspondent, thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.